chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. And when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village over against you, and you will immediately find a donkey tied with his colt. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and they will send them immediately." All this was done that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king comes to you, meek and sitting on a donkey, and a colt, the foal of a donkey." And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and put their clothes on them, and set him thereon. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. We want to leave with you a subject this today: borrowed things, borrowed things. You may be seated. Father, it is again that we come before you. We are so thankful for this day. We thank you, Lord, for all of your blessings and all of your goodness that you've shown to us. And especially in this season that we celebrate the death of our Lord, and then followed by that, the burial and the resurrection, showing that he died for our sin. He died as the Savior of the world. He came into this world as a man. He suffered, he bled, and he gave his life a sacrifice. And we celebrate that because nothing else could pay the penalty for all of the things that we had done. And we thank you for sending us a Savior. God, we pray that you'd speak to our hearts now as we open your word. May it give us understanding. May I speak with clarity and with power, that the Holy Spirit might reveal the truth of God. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. As I start this message, I want to ask you a question today. Has anyone borrowed something from you and never returned it? And before you go out and maybe pursue taking that back, I think you would be benefited by hearing this message today, because it talks about borrowed things. It talks about the fact that Jesus borrowed from his disciples or borrowed from a person. And how that borrowing not only is something that is good, but something that can benefit all of us as we think about the ministry, as you think about what we do in ministry and how we accomplish the purpose of God. Borrowing is not always a bad thing. I can tell you that whatever was borrowed, the Lord Jesus returned. If God borrows anything from you, he's going to return it. And not only will God return it, but he'll return it with a blessing. He'll return it by sharing with you the wonderful things of God. As I looked at this passage, I don't know, but some of you may not have noticed it before. But as I looked at this passage, I had to think about growing up in the country. And it was a custom that we would borrow somebody's mule. We would borrow somebody's tractor if you had one. You'd borrow somebody's pickup truck, but you'd always want to bring it back. There is such a thing as a borrower's risk. When you borrow something or you lend something, how do you know the person's going to bring it back, especially if you don't know them? How do you know that something won't happen to that particular thing, that it might be damaged, or the borrower themselves might be at risk of whatever they borrow might not work? And so them going to get something and going through that process might prove to be unfruitful. So here it is, Jesus sending his disciples, not himself, but sending his disciples to borrow a donkey and his mother. Now, if you're from the country and you lend something, you want to know who that person is. They show up, they ask the question, or they don't really ask, they just grab the donkey and start untying it and going on their way. And the owners, of course, say, what are you doing? Why are you untying this donkey? Why are you coming here and taking something that doesn't belong to you? And their response was, the Lord has need of it. I don't know whether that would work for folks in our day. I don't know whether that would be very convincing. And yet Jesus had said to them what would happen. He had said to them how that when the owners ask you, why are you doing this? You shall say to them, the Lord has need of it. I believe that Jesus gave them the authority, and the owners of that donkey and his mother could sense that authority as coming from God, and that this was needful to fulfill something. They didn't know all of the details, but they were willing to go along with the lending to the Lord. What if God came to you and said, I want to take out a loan? Of course, we're going to ask, Lord, what is it that you want? And God would say to us, I want you. Not your money, not your house, not your land, but I want you. And isn't this exactly what the gospel is all about, the other side of it? One side of the gospel says, receive God's free gift. And we come and we receive it. We receive the forgiveness of our sin. We say, Lord, thank you for giving us the blessing of the forgiveness of sin. Thank you for entering into our lives and filling us with your Spirit. And then God says, there's another side to this gospel. I've given to you, now you lend me what you have. Now this thing has never been hidden. It's been in the Bible throughout because it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. We're so accustomed to getting something from God that when God says, I want something from you, it totally pulls us out of our comfort zone. I can't believe God wants my life. I can't believe God is asking this of me. As we go through this message, as we work our way through it, you're going to find out that he really wants everything you have in order that he might bless it and give it back to you. That you're not really the owner of your life. The Lord owns you. First, notice the disciples and their willingness to obey the voice of Jesus. They're willing to obey their Lord's command. As outrageous as this request seems, they did as the Lord commands. They didn't know the property owners. How many of you, when you wanted to share the gospel or the message of Jesus Christ, you felt nervous and you said, well, Lord, I don't know those people. What if they reject me? All right. These disciples did as the Lord commanded. We're in a day now where people are used to multiple choice. We want to know our options. We want to choose, okay, Lord, let me choose between A, B, and C. And God says it's just A. It's just A. The B means you're being disobedient. The B means you're not really receiving the word. You're not really saying, God, this is important. The priority for the disciples on this day, go and do what the Lord has commanded of you. And as we celebrate Palm Sunday, the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, you can think about the crowds coming. You can think about all of the amazing things that happened, the people strewing the way with their clothes and with palm branches and all of these things. But it all started with a donkey being borrowed. And the disciples obeyed his command. Well, let's unpack this. Let's look at the fact that you're a lender. Okay, so today I want you to put on your financial hat. I want you to become a financial institution, and You're going to lend something. You're going to lend something to God. You're going to say, okay, God, you're sitting here and you want a loan from me. And financial institution, they take the application, they look at all of the things that the person might own, and then they consider whether or not they're going to take the risk of making this loan. So I want to ask you a question. Can you trust God? Can you trust him? Do you believe what he says? When we consider this, we have to look at the fact when we're getting involved in ministry, no church, no individual, nobody in ministry should recognize, hey, I got all the gifts. I'm the total package. I don't need anything else. But isn't that the way we behave sometimes? That's the way, rather than saying we need help, we try to do this Lone Ranger stuff, high hole silver. And ministry is flopping because people don't recognize that the resources of others becomes critical to the success of ministry. Amen. Jesus owned everything. So why in the world would he want to go and get somebody's donkey? He could have flew. He could have rode a cloud into Jerusalem. But that's not the way it had been prophesied. Zechariah 9:9 says he will come into Jerusalem as an humble king riding upon a donkey. And the disciples, guess what? They didn't have a donkey. Neither did Jesus. And neither do you. If you look around this room, we probably say, well, I probably will never need anybody in this room. How do you know that? So this whole thing about Jesus coming as king shows that we're all connected and we're all in need of something from each other. If nothing but respect. If nothing but respect. The other thing that we find out from this is that this is an opportunity for God to bless through the very process of you giving. God can bless us through that process. I got to hurry on. We got other things going on. This is getting deep, isn't it? This is getting good. This is getting good. So as we think about this, the owners were probably saying, man, I got to give up something. And I don't know this man, Jesus. I heard about him, but I got to give up something. And they start discussing. And then somebody says, let it go. I wish you'd look at somebody and tell them, let it go. The very thing that you withhold from God will be the one thing that you should not withhold and the very thing that will bring you blessings. While you're looking at the temporary situation, you need to look at the eternal benefit of when you give something to God. Oh, can I tell you what Grandma said? You can't beat God giving no matter how you try. Do you get that? As we look at this, this is what's happening as we lend to the Lord. And I thought about this, and I thought about the situation where the owners of this donkey was, they were actually put to this question. They were actually on the other side, and now they're lending to God. And as I thought about that, I thought throughout the Bible, there are people who gave something to God, and God always gave it back. If it began with Abraham, Abraham, I need you and Sarah to get a part, become a part of this plan. What do we need to do, God? God said, I want to take out a loan. First of all, I want you to move from the place you are, that you're living. Go to a place that I'll show you. They gave it all up. And they said, God is in your hands. They put their lives in God's hands. Moses, 80 years old, God should be thinking about retiring, right? No, God says, Moses, lend me your life. Lend me the staff that's in your hand. Everything about you, I'm going to send you to Egypt. I'm not going to send an army with you, but I'll give you so much power that after you bear witness, you'll be able to bring the people of Israel out. Didn't Moses do it? Because he dared. He said, I don't have all the resources, but God does, and God has some people that we're going to work with. This thing is going to get done. What about your life today? You're the lender, God's the borrower, and he's saying, make me a loan. Make me a loan. All right, so what about this ministry of giving? Very quickly, why does Jesus have to borrow anything anyway? All right, so the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In case you don't know that, let God remind you one time when he takes away. You know what Job said? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, and he could have added to that, and the Lord owneth everything. But he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Everything, absolutely everything, while he allows you to pay the property taxes on it, he's the owner. All right. So God owns everything. He owns us. He owns our time. He owns the breath that we breathe, the blood that courses through our vein. God owns everything. So why doesn't God just take it? Because ministry is not being powerful. In that day, the absolute rulership of a king, they had absolute authority. They could go in and, well, if I want that, I'll just take it. And that's what the people of Judea were upset about, because as they were trying to live their lives, the Romans would come in and they had these publicans who were actually a part of it, and they just grabbed what they wanted. Jesus didn't have that kind of ministry. And God is not like that. When God gives you something, he's not going to come in and just snatch it. I mean, the donkey, God knew the day the donkey was born, right? And he could have just snatched it. But he said, let me use it. The Lord has need of it. God is polite. God is humble. What would it look like, an humble king riding on a donkey that he snatched from somebody? It's like jumping in somebody's car. Hey, where you going with my car? You know, you don't do that. You do things in a dignified way. And God does things decently and in order. He could grab for all the gusto, right? He could say, this is a business transaction. You get out of my way. That's not the God we serve. God could just wake you up every morning and say, hey, slap you upside the face. Get up. But he allows the sun to come up gently. He allows your eyes to come open. And even when the alarm clock goes off to remind you, you got responsibility. God said, okay, let him sleep for a little while longer. If he didn't love you, he could not have allowed that day to happen. You are blessed today. Are you with me? Second thing about this that I discovered, and I'm gonna try to move right on and summarize this. But the second thing I discovered, because the Lord owns everything and that he has blessed us with these things, God doesn't just automatically take back. This was a fulfillment of Scripture. This was a fulfillment of Zechariah and chapter 9 and verse 9, where it says, tell the daughter of Zion, your king is not going to come in as with all of these mighty armies. He's not going to come in with all of the mighty angels, although he could. He's going to come in riding on a donkey, meek and lowly. Now, the question I ask as an old farmer boy, Rod, I ask the question, why does he need the donkey and his mother? Didn't I tell you that whatever you lend to God, he's going to bless it? And Brother Hurd, you know that you don't just ride on a donkey that's never been rode on before, right? So Jesus is going to bless them. When he gives it back, it's going to be a trained donkey. But if you have the mother right there beside the donkey, the little small donkey, right, is under the control of the mother, right? So Jesus took the mother and the colt so that the colt would not get alarmed. Everything's all right if mom's right by me, right? I might preach that as a Mother's Day sermon. But he's going to send that owner the blessing. The Lord has blessed this. Anything that you have, houses, lands, cars, before you pull out of the parking lot,
that's right.
Before you sign the deed, say, God, thank you. Because how you know that you're going to be able to pay for what you just got without the Lord's help? Anybody in the building? So you need to recognize that he is Lord. The second thing about it, when we look at the fact that he's fulfilling Scripture, now these owners of this donkey are becoming a part of something, Ms. Campbell, that is bigger than themselves. Ministry is never about me and you. It's about God. If you don't understand that, Now, he'll include you. He'll give you times where you can be recognized. I mean, they're riding through the crowd and everybody, and everybody's singing, everybody waving, everybody's saying, Lord, look at the Lord. The owner's like, man, that's my donkey, man. That's old Jack there, you know. And that's the way it should be. We should enjoy ministry. But it should never be a thing where we try to draw attention to ourselves through ministry. Because you cut off the power of God. You're focused now on something that is not going to give God glory, but it's going to be focused on ourselves and you trying to light up your life without God. That light's going out. The fuel to that light will burn no more because you're not recognizing the God who lives in you. Church is not about you and me. We come, we offer our gifts, we clap our hands when something good is done, but the glory and the praise goes to God Almighty. It's got to be that way. It's got to be that way or it won't work at all. So, Lord owns everything, but he does things in a way that he allows us to participate. But not only that, they said the Lord has need of it. What does that mean? Well, when the disciples got there, the only word they were told is that God needs it. Now, we do a lot of stuff in ministry that is not done right. The church at that time, or we say the believers at that time, they had a practice of this thing called Corban. I don't have time to get into it. But Corban was, if God needs something and you're supposed to use it for to take care of your family, just call it Corban. Go and give it to the church. And back in that day, the Pharisees and religious leaders were having the people to take from the responsibilities of caring for parents and giving it to the temple. Why? Because they were greedy. They were greedy. Now, listen, I believe that church ought to take care of its pastor, and thank God y'all do a great job. But if you're going to take your rent money and going to come here and going to give to me just so I can drive in a fine car, I know what you say anyway. You're probably looking out in the parking lot, what are you driving today? That's why I got me a Toyota. Toyota. Had a Mercedes, but it was Mercedes. Lord, these Mercedes, man. You know, it's not here, we're not here to say, okay, who can ride the crest of the crowd, rather, but it's here for the purpose of honoring God in everything that we do. The Lord has need of it. Another practice that was practiced mainly by the Catholic Church, this thing of penance, okay? Penance was when you bring something, you can buy your way into heaven. Bring the right gift and you'll find the favor of God. Does that sound familiar? Give $5,000 and God's going to bless you. Now, if you give $5,000, thank God you're giving it. But this is not behind door number one is your blessing, right? This is not some game show. Why do we do this at Crossroad? We do it because it honors God. We love God so much because we want to give and show him how much we love him. And I tell you what, this church has been blessed on that one principle, honoring God with whatever you have. Not because you want to see everything, all of the thrills and all of this, but God is worthy of your praise. Can I get an amen? Amen. So we approach ministry then, understanding that there are things that God will use to glorify his name. There are things that God will ask of you and me, and we're lending to the Lord. The other thing is that God has a repayment policy. You probably don't know what that policy is, right? Proverbs 19 and verse 7, it says, he that has pity on the poor lends, look at the word lends, lends unto the Lord, and that which he has given, he will pay him again. In other words, that sets a principle. Whatever you give to God, God is going to bless you. You don't give for him to bless you, but you know that you've been blessed already. Amen. How many of y'all got up this morning? Amen. Did God owe you anything? But he gave you a blessing anyway. Well, how many of you were able to put your own clothes on? Come out to the house of God. Give God praise. Got breath going in. I wonder how much does a next breath cost? I'm thankful to God that he gave us all that he has that we might honor him. And we can say, Lord, I thank and praise you. Very quick, I want to move along. I'm about ready to preach up here. As I close, though, here's what I want you to think about. Here's what I want you to think about. Remember, you're on the other side of the table now. You're making God alone. And at the end of it, God's going to say, I'm going to bless you. He's going to sign it, right? And you're going to sign it and say, Lord, I give it. Here we go. First of all, if you're going to loan something to God, make sure it's available. If God needs it today, don't say, Lord, it'll be ready next week. Right? Don't a lot of us do it? Lord, I'll serve you when I get such and such an age. Lord, when I get 50, I'm going to serve you. If you can't serve him at 25, I doubt if you're going to do much more at 50. Can I get a witness? You've got to be available. What if the disciples had gone over there? First of all, that donkey was tired, which meant the owners weren't doing a thing with it. All right, y'all get that? Some of y'all, you ain't doing nothing with your life. Talking about, I still want to have a good time. How many times you going to go to the same place, do the same old stupid thing that you've been doing? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean intrude. Yeah, I did. I want to be bold today. How many times are you planning on doing those things and trying to get joy when the joy of the Lord will come your way through obedience and through saying, Lord, I want to make myself available. And then the last thing is obedient. You got to be obedient to the call. When they were obedient to the call, they brought back those donkeys. They put Jesus on it. Now, notice this. Please notice this. The giving did not start with the disciples. The giving started with the donkey owners. The donkey owners gave, and then the disciples said, hey, if they gave the donkey, then they put my coat on him. And so they put their coat on him. Then the other people saw the disciples giving, and they said, you know what? This is Jesus. He worked a miracle in my life. Let me just cut off a branch here. Let me just take my clothes and lay them down. It started the whole process of giving. This is contagious giving. It happened when Moses was in the middle of the wilderness, and it said, we need a tabernacle here. And the people gave. You didn't have to compel them. You didn't have to ask them. They saw each other. Well, you ain't going to beat me giving. And you can't beat God giving. They were obedient. Today is a day where we owe God our obedience. If you don't give him anything else in your life, give him your obedience. Just say, Lord, I trust you. And then lastly, recognize God's glory. After they had all given, then came the praise. Then came the true worship. Because they gave, they recognized then, man, if it had not been for the Lord, I wouldn't have that coat anyway. If it hadn't been for God, I wouldn't have the donkey anyway. And the donkey owners, they're over there shouting because that donkey didn't get upset and say, wait a minute, something owe me. You know how we buck when somebody tells us to do something? And we, come on. A lot of you all, can you help the church doing something? I ain't got time for that. Lord, I wish I had time to preach this sermon today. And we got people in the church, they just bucking, but get up and do what you're supposed to do and give God some glory. Honor him, and God will bless you for it. That's the end of my message. I'm out of time, but did God tell you something today? And notice this. When the people cried, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, it all started with a borrowed donkey. Let God borrow your life and watch him move through your life and bring blessing to others. That's what ministry is all about. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Wow, God, we don't know what to say. That you would take these lives of ours and use it for your glory. We don't know what to say except thank you. And we surrender all. We praise you for all. Bless us now to take this message and use it for thy glory, that we would honor you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to extend the invitation. If there be someone today, maybe you've never surrendered your life to God, and you're saying, Pastor, I want to do it. I'm afraid. Well, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because you can trust God. We're actually all stand. If there is someone that you would respond to his call today, we invite you to do that. Is there one? We're going to prepare our hearts to give as the officers will come. as we honor the Lord through our giving.
Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves to come before you, thanking you for this day, thanking you for your angels watched over us last night, all week. And Father, this is an important season coming. We are blessed because you allowed us to see this day. You look beyond our faults. Your grace and mercy allowed us to be here this day. And Father, now we are here to give a portion of your blessing back. Bless the ones that have it. Bless the ones that want to give but have not. Bless the ones that are sick in jobs. And Father, this is for the upbuilding of your kingdom here on earth, and that we give you the glory and the praise. And Father, we thank you for your messenger this morning. Bring us dearly the word, Father, from on high. These and all other blessings I ask in your precious name. Amen.